Hello, my fellow hunters. This is Hiroshi Shibe from Satoshi's Treasure Hunters. And this is June 30th with your weekly hunt update. We're going to talk about the Nirvana Key, and we're going to talk a little bit about game mechanics. This has been a very eventful week. We've had some new hunters come aboard. Talked a little bit about the during the Freedom Key Clue Day. We've had some solves for some very old keys that have been you can say on the books for a while that have been solved, and a few other things that have happened. Most of them I will talk about later on in the week when I talk about those keys and the breakdowns of the adventures for them. But for this particular episode, I'm just going to focus on the Nirvana Key and talking about some of the issues with the game mechanics. So let's just get on the trail, get on the hunt, if you will, and let's talk about the Nirvana Key. Okay, so let's go through the list of keys that have been found. Of course, you got the first three, which are the J key, the Bismuth key, and the Maru key. They have been found. The Pawn key, which is the Rabbit key. The Hunter key, which is one of three. We only found one of those keys that has been found. The Earth key is still unknown. It still has not been found, but there are some rumors that it has been found, but the site itself has not updated, and they're not as fast as people have wanted them to be, have been pretty clear about what keys have been found. The Bomb key, the big soda can key that it took 50 Twitter handles to find the puzzle pieces and piece them together to a beautiful, colorful can that's been basically whipping people's asses for, like, since its launch for the last, more than a month, month and a half, if you will, to solve it, has been found. It has not been publicly disclosed, but it has been found. The Aesop key has been found. The Clan key, that was won by the Toshi Cypher group. They have not publicly disclosed that. The Room key has been found. We'll talk about that in the game mechanics, but you still can find the Room key. The Cult key, there's a potential declaring of a winner, but it hasn't been stated as who is found. We'll talk about that in the game mechanics. The Global Key has been found. And the Nirvana Key, which is the key we're talking about, has been found, which is one of the geolocation keys. That was found by the Toshi Cypher group, and they have publicly disclosed that key as of today. The Zero Knowledge Key, which is a month-long event of videos about July 31st, I believe, is a date for that one. July the 31st. You have until that time to be able to find the three keys, or potentially even to be able to solve the particular puzzles for that particular very heavy centric cryptographic puzzle, if you will. You can obtain three keys from that. And $70,000. The Philanthropic key just kind of started as of July 1st, if you will. You have to donate the most with Satoshi's Treasure in your handle. We talked about that when that key was released. We won't know until July 31st, who has those keys, which is up to a total of four keys. And the Distances key has been found. So a lot of these keys are falling to the wayside. The Earth key hasn't been quite solved yet, but memory has. The Cult key, I guess you could say the first of those keys have been released, possibly. We won't know until the site is updated. And then you have the Zero Knowledge key, the Philanthropic key, which is ongoing. And then we have the Freedom key, which, as a recording of this episode, hasn't been declared found, or no one has stated that they met with the person. It's 11 a.m. Denmark time in Copenhagen is when that person is going to be there. They're going to have either a flyer or some kind of QR code for people to obtain and be able to scan and get that key. So, as you can see, a lot has been going on. There's some news about the Satoshi Treasure Hunt, so it caused an influx of new hunters coming into the game. Be nice, be kind, try to get them to be part of your clan, because as soon as those new hunters came along, the Bone Key was solved, and there's been significant progress with the Earth Key, with the discussions through the official Telegram, as well as some of the public group chats, have made some significant progress that, you know, they were stuck. New fresh blood, new fresh pair of eyes have caused some kind of, you know, progress for those games. I wouldn't say games, but those puzzles. So that's been a good thing. I did do a primer, which I will link again, and I will do another one, a more EL5 one, about the Strategy Treasure Hunt and how the game works, what public clans are out there, what to expect, if you will, just to kind of try to trim down the Freedom Key points into a simple 10-minute video that can be shared, where you can send it to any new hunter and they can have a up-to-speed understanding of what the Satoshi Treasure Hunt is all about and how to play the game, if you will. So that being said, the Nirvana Key was in fact found. The Toshi Clan published on their blog site. So you can go to their site, you're able to get the key as well as scan the QR code for yourself. I appreciate that. And a couple of other keys they released, they haven't had the QR code, but I guess now the new hunters or whatever, the pictures, they're kind of being a little bit better about, you know, their blogs or whatever. Most of the time with these QR codes is because you're going to a site, most of those puzzles are cryptographic puzzles, you enter the passphrase, and bam, you have the QR code and the key, if you will, the mathematical key. They, of course, met at Iris Kitchen and Tea Room, which was in India, and it's Rishika, India. There was someone who was able to go out there, meet up with the person, scan the QR code, and obtain the key. I just have a link from TripAdvisor there. If you're ever in India, if you're ever in the area, maybe you want to pay a homage to that particular place. I also emphasize this because the geolocation keys are keys that, for the most part, you're not going to be able to, once they're found and they're not disclosed, you're not going to be able to find them. So if you have the chance or the opportunity to send somebody from your clan or somebody you know through within your personal network to these geolocation keys, I would do so, so that way you can obtain the key, because not all keys are going to be publicly disclosed. I imagine as we get higher and higher, like around the hundreds or maybe the mid-hundreds, I imagine more and more clans are going to be more clannish. They're going to be more closed off, and you're not going to see these public disclosures, if you will, of those keys, because you're starting to get towards the potential or the value of winning that prize, if you will. But for now, people are being friendly, people are disclosing keys, and it's very appreciative. It allows for clans to, you know, learn, to get better, for newcomers to be able to figure out how they themselves can solve these keys, to catch up and not feel like they're being left behind, if you will. That being said, it's nice to see how welcoming people are for the new hunters, kind of breaking down, explaining to them about the game, directing them to the proper sites, letting them know where all the keys are that have been publicly disclosed, showing them where the unfound ones are and what they kind of are looking for and needing people, and, you know, asking them to join their clans or suggesting that they can always form their own. Those type of deals is nice to see. But there are some game mechanic issues with the game. And it's been slow. We've talked about this a few times. There's been like this slow little mistakes that kind of just pile up to make it a little bit frustrating. The biggest one dealing with the global key, the choices, if you will, what the game makers have been doing with like three of these keys being kind of more of marketing keys. You have the clan key, which was a kind of public disclosure, if you will, of people having to show their faces and forming these blocks via Twitter in order to have the longest chain in order to obtain the key. Then you have the cult key, where it's kind of like this multi-level marketing type of deal where you're trying to recruit either your fellow clan members or new hunters into the game and having them sign up under you, if you will, with their phone number. And granted, they can use a burner number or a a ROP number or some throwaway number or even a landline if you want. Why? I don't think they can get a text message for a landline. But so there's the disclosure of kind of personal information, if you will, with the clan key, the cult key, and now with the philanthropy key, where you can donate anonymously, and there is a way to do so. Like, you can always give a fake name. You can do it in Bitcoin or fiat, if you will. It's Satoshi Hunter, you know, Hiroshi Shibe, or Satoshi Hunter, blah, 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 one. And, you know, use your clan name. So Satoshi Hunter, Satoshi's Treasure, if you will, Satoshi Hunter, blah, blah, one, or something of that nature. And for some people, it feels like it's a capture information. There was a bit of an issue with one of the keys early on around Easter, which was a Lapon key, where you had to purchase a digital egg and enter your credit card information. The Amazon gift card component wasn't working, so it didn't allow for a lot of global people to be able to participate. I think PayPal was an option, but people were, again, very deeply concerned about giving up their private information. And that's a very big issue globally, if you will. It's a hotbed issue here in the States, a lot of in Europe. But globally, you're seeing that. You're seeing that in the Hong Kong protests. You're seeing that in Sudan. You're seeing where public information, or what people perceive to be private and should be considered private information, being just scattered throughout the internet. People getting scammed all the time. Phone calls. You try to do all the appropriate things you should be doing with 2FA and, you know, alternate emails, and it still doesn't work, and you still have your accounts, particularly your banking information, hacked, and your funds being stolen. Just all sorts of funkiness going on, and bad actions and bad actors going on in the world. And for particularly for this space, this cryptocurrency space, where it's very tech-centric, very first wave, if you will, as far as, you know, they're always the first person, you know, it's called the first inventors or first waivers. They're always there with the new tech, have to have the new thing, creating, inventing, tinkering, and doing things of that nature. Are a little bit more paranoid, a little, particularly in the cryptocurrency space, a little bit more privacy centric. They're not, many of them are not fully willing to give up complete, you know, their complete public information. There's some that are willing to do so, be a little bit more open, like myself, talking about, you know, cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. But they, you know, some are using pseudonyms, some are using fake names, they're using VPNs, they're doing everything they can to prevent themselves from being a point of attack. Because when it comes to Bitcoin, people have been, you know, personally robbed, they've been held at gunpoint, they've been kidnapped, they've been simjacked, people have broken into their homes, they've had family members kidnapped or threatened to be kidnapped, they've been had family members try to scam them, steal from them, computers taken, hard drives, thefts of that nature, all sorts of different craziness. Not to mention, you know, the exchanges that exit scam, or the exchanges that get hacked and lose funds, or in the case of Quadratic, where exchanges really weren't exchanges but buckets, and they were just taking customer funds and gambling it away, all sorts of craziness, if you will. So there's a bit of a hesitancy, and you can see some of the people that are very enthusiastic about this game kind of dipping out, because it just conflicts with their core philosophy. We saw the big, I would say rage quit, but, you know, the big dip where the Magellan Clan, their website is gone. They've taken everything down, and I guess they're not coming back, even though some members have gone and joined other clans. The people that ran that particular group are not going to be here unless the public address has been disclosed, indicating how much Bitcoin is available. And I think I've spoken about this before in other cryptocurrency puzzle games. That's the first thing that's disclosed, is a public address, so people can always look and see that the funds are valid, that the funds exist, and that they give a proof where they're signing with a PGB, you know, fashion, or maybe moving a little bit, moving back out, to demonstrate that they actually, in fact, own that particular address, and that it's Not just any Bitcoin address that they can just throw up there, like Craig Wright or something, saying I'm Satoshi. You know, they actually control the private key. And when the jig is up and you've won, you know, you're going to have the Bitcoin, if you will. So there's been that issue. And yes, the game makers have stated that they are, in fact, using the public address as a key, if you will, a clue to a key, or is it the solution, if you will. And that's fun as far as, you know, puzzles go, figuring out the puzzle and you find the public address. But as far as trust and verifying in a community that's very paranoid, if you will, and justifiably paranoid. I mean, if they're coming to get you and it's true, then are you really paranoid? Type of a deal. It's a bit of an issue. It's a bit of a game mechanic issue, if you will, of not full disclosure, if you will. And that, you know, that's been an issue for, and I just want to get it out of the way for a while now. But there's these little tiny bit of mistakes, if you will, that the game makers have been doing, particularly with the global key, where, and the room key, I think, in a sense, where there's been an issue about, and I talked about this a little bit when I did my text adventure game breakdown, how the influence on this particular game, where we were guessing the syntax of the game makers, and they're not really clear enough in the direction, particularly for a global game, to where they're communicating enough of a fashion that enough different communities or different global perspectives, if you will, are capable of understanding the clues. For example, the room key. Many different clans have sent people to obtain the room key, and you have all the way to July 7th for the exhibit to actually close. But people thought they had to go in the exhibit and find a QR code or find a passphrase, because such an emphasis on the room, and they were looking at pictures, the walls, going all around, talking to the people within the exhibit who weren't actually even, in fact, part of the game, per se. And I'll get back to that in a moment. Actually touching the objects from the exhibit, flipping them around, thinking there might be a QR code or passphrase there, and not really finding anything. And so the question has been pointed out, like, and it's been a kind of couple of weeks until we finally got an answer from the game makers, is, you know, was there sabotage? And it turns out it's not sabotage. It's the fact that the key is actually outside the building. And you have to be, I guess you have to be, and from the picture itself that was disclosed, you have to kind of be culturally aware of the concept of tagging stickers on objects, which is not something that's culturally permissive throughout the globe. It's still a very Western concept. It's very skater border-ish, if you will. I find it always fascinating, certain Western things that do translate through the globe, like rap or metal or emo of that nature, or, you know, K-pop is really, like, a lot of his influences from early R&B and, like, 90s early R&B groups and early R&B singers, that type of influence. It's very fascinating how things disseminate culturally and then get spit out and changed to fit that culture, and then spit out again to be changed into something completely different when it interacts with the world. But putting stickers and tagging things and stuff might not be something that, considering that many of the individuals are being asked to go into, you know, the location is in Singapore. It's in Hong Kong. The location is in China. We're having Chinese nationals go to the location, and there's a communication error. I mean, I think I've seen clients talking to people in Chinese, or having friends going over. They're Chinese nationals. They live in the area. They work together or something of that nature. And it might not click inside their heads to think, oh, that's odd that this fire extinguisher and this electrical outlet is all tagged up with all these stickers. Why don't I look at this thing? And there's people that have still gone there and still haven't found this particular section of the building that's like that. And so that's an issue. Two, it's an issue that the game makers kind of glommed on to these different places, and it seems in some cases they actually have direct interaction with a person, to where they either pay them or something like that to participate in some fashion for the clue drop, like a little internet having in his MP3 file drop this hidden message. And then he tweeted out something that he actually deleted for the Earth Key that he wasn't supposed to delete. And it was supposed to be a clue to help people solve the Earth Key. And so it's, and then they have the Binance thing, and then this, the zero knowledge key, where they kind of glom onto these other things, but they're not completely directly involved per se with the game itself. Though the Binance thing, I think there might be some kind of exchange with the marketing, considering that there's been so far three kind of keys associated with them. You have the philanthropist key, which you have to give to the Binance charity. You have the Taipei mini hunt that's supposed to start July 1st, that coincides with a conference that Binance is having July 2nd. So July 1st is when the Taipei mini hunt happens. It's $1,000, and I believe there's a key involved as well. I have a link in the show notes from Jesse Wong about that. And then you have the Binance conference happening July 2nd. So there could be a significant number of hunters in the area, because it's a cryptocurrency space. They might be coming out to Taipei to participate with Binance, which is the big Bitcoin exchange. So it's either there could be some fellow hunters there, or at least if you've been in the space long enough, you might know somebody who's going to Taipei and be able to say, hey, can you do this for me? There's like $1,000 in Bitcoin up for grabs. Hey, have some fun. So there's that. The other thing is the distances key. The picture that you had to look and zoom in and zoom out and figure things out had a lot of reference to Binance, the company, and Taipei, and what was going to happen within that time period. So there's that stuff. But if someone were to email Binance or talk to Binance about Satoshi Treasure Hunter, I bet you they wouldn't know anything about this. And so it's like if Coca-Cola were to do a game, and they were to, maybe not Coca-Cola, because I think, you know, Pepsi and Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think a few others, are all owned by the same company. If Pepsi, the Pepsi Challenge, if you will, or the Pepsi iTunes thing. Remember that back in the early aughts when iTunes was launching, you had to get all the different Pepsi products, and you can get the, under the cap, they had like the little code, and you can get some iTunes and download some iTunes songs free or whatever. I think they even had the girl that was getting sued by the music industry, one of their spokespersons. And it'd be like if you were to contact like the Dr. Pepper department or company, or some company within Pepsi about the iTunes download things, and they didn't know anything about it, that wouldn't make sense. Or iTunes about Pepsi, they would be like, oh no, you need to go to this site or contact this number about that particular game. Like if you were to go to the Apple store, they'd be like, oh yes, we are doing that, but we don't have that information. You have to contact da 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 this information, and that will be able to disclose the information, because we here in the retail section are not directly involved in the game. So if you come in the Apple store and you're like, oh, my iTunes code is not working, you need to actually go on the website and contact, you know, the iTunes people or even Pepsi himself and figure out what's going on, because we can't figure that out for you. But we do know what's happening, and that's kind of a thing that's going on with some of the aspects of the game, where they're going to these spaces, putting up the QR codes or whatever, and the people involved or the spaces don't know anything about it. And that's just frustrating, because somebody should be able to go to the room, if you will, that location, and it'll be like, yes, I know about the Satoshi Treasure Hunt game. The particular thing, your object you're looking for, is not actually in the exhibit. But if you pay attention, you might be able to find it. They don't have to say exactly where the QR code is, but they can tell the hunters, it's actually not in our exhibit, but it is here. It does exist. So you have to put your thinking cap on and you have to figure it out. And that is the best thing I can do for you. I can just tell you it exists. There's no sabotage. It is here in the vicinity. It's just not in the exhibit. That would make sense. So something of that nature. It's a little frustrating, if you will. So here's a picture of the fire hydrant. It's called Fire Hydrant 1. You can see some of the lettering is off. It's a box fire hydrant. It has a blue thing over it. It has all these stickers that are on the, I guess you can say the water spout. There's a little cat picture that covers the QR code for the actual room key QR code. There's some Chinese lettering here. I guess indicating the location of where it possibly can be around that building. But again, I don't think if you were coming to the exhibit, you walk by this or you see this as you're coming from the parking lot or anything like that, it would cause most people to pause because they think, oh, that's just graffiti, that's just stickers, and maybe walk away. And don't think that might be some kind of cultural reference or just look at the stickers and examine, oh, that's a bit of an oddity, that's a very Western thing in the Chinese area. Maybe that might mean something if you're going to look at everything. And obviously the person who found the room key saw that, knew what that was, culturally speaking, was able to find it. And then just, I guess other people, when coming to the exhibit, you're looking around the exhibit, looking around the building and not finding this. There's been chatter about not finding this particular hydrant location in around the building. So which building is it? Is it one building over, two buildings? Is it the same building? It's just, you know, certain clarity, if you will, on the part of the game makers when making this. It needs to be a little bit clearer. And I'm not sure this is a kind of a syntax or cultural issue or a sense of a game mechanic issue where there is, in essence, a glitch, if you will, about communicating about where the potential there could be these QR codes for these geolocations. The other thing was the verbiage issue, and we're going to have to talk about that with, or the naming of something where there's a miscommunication about, culturally speaking, about naming an object. And that has to do with the global key, where you had the different pictures of the different cities. And some of the cities that were disclosed weren't exactly named as you would think they would be named, even though everyone knows them by this name. And then some cities might, in fact, have been actually completely mislabeled. So let's pull up that information. So the global key, which has a write-up here in the Soshi Cipher group, has done a write-up about it. I've seen quite a bit about this, in fact, in the official Telegram. I can't find the link at the moment. It doesn't seem to quite be working at the moment to link to the discussion, but basically, I'm going to read this last bit about their solve, and you can always go to the link in the show notes and read for yourself, but... So Nels B is the one who solved it for the Soshi Cipher group. So I'll share with you what I did on the global key. First, I tried to brute force with a Google sheet we were building, but it didn't work out. So I tried different things, using different cities, letters. I even started using the second letter of the city since nothing worked. I continued to use this method with patience, and it worked out. To be more specific, we were wrong about 45. It was Normitir. And we were wrong with the Greenland city, it starts with an N. And the Hague was just the Hague. And 43 was Mykonos, which is not really a city. So there's an issue there. And Calabasas, San Lucas was just Lucas. So I talked about this when I said Las Vegas. Well, some people would still drop the Las and just say Vegas, and you still know what they're talking about. But Calabasas, San Lucas, that might not necessarily be the case. Particularly the fact that there's a lot of Lucas's names that could be out there when it comes to cities. I could almost understand San Lucas, but not dropping it to Lucas, and he didn't do that for other cities like Las Vegas. There's been an issue for some people calling The Hague just The Hague. That might not necessarily be the case. The city of Nomirta wasn't the actual city from the given picture. It was a completely different city. And the Greenland city started with the N. So there were some issues here with people, you know, four wrong cities out of the necessary amount needed, which was 45. And then you have to, you know, run some kind of calculations. That's still a lot of, even brute force in it, four cities, that's still a lot to figure out. Fortunately, we were able to figure it out, but that's a big high error rate, if you will, for a puzzle solve. It really is. I could almost understand one city, like the Cabo San Lucas. I can almost understand that, but to have three more additional ones, it made it extremely frustrating for a lot of hunters when it came to that, and there wasn't, you know, some kind of check for that case. And again, it comes back to, you know, the clarification and communication and just making sure that things are done correctly, like 100%, that they're, you know, to err is to be human, but again, that's four cities out of 45. That's a significant number to have to brute force. And I know that's something that the game makers have stated a few times. Oh, just brute force it. And that's starting to kind of get old, where if you're trying to figure out the puzzle and get to the solution, and there's errors on the part of the game makers where you have to brute force everything, that gets tedious and tiresome. It just does. I know that doesn't sound like a huge deal, but it just kind of is. It's like these little, like I said, these little type of things that make things very frustrating for people about, that's four cities. That's just a lot. And some bit of, you know, positive news, you know, the Satoshi Treasure official Twitter handle has stated that there will be an upcoming clue that will yield three keys for a small breakthrough in a tricky SCS problem. That is the zero knowledge key. So they do kind of announce these things out to us, much like the Taipei mini hunt on Jesse Wang's Twitter handle. So we kind of do get a heads up about some of these different type of keys. It allows us to prepare for it. They do say non-engineers don't despair. Many other non-technical clues are coming. And since that's where the dissonance key and the philanthropic key and the freedom key, as well as the nirvana key, they were non-technical clues. They were about networking and getting people to geolocations and kind of googling and zooming in, zooming out, and figuring out and using some internet sleuthing for the dissonance key to be able to solve that. I'll talk about that later on in the week, about that type of journey. I'm trying to suss all that out, because it seems like to be a very weird journey for people to be able to solve that particular key. So I know that it seems like a little nitpicky on my part about the clarification of the rules, or hints, if you will, on the part of the game makers when putting these clues out, verifying their clues, and just running them through enough people to find their errors so that people can, in fact, solve these clues. For example, the Earth Key one. This one guy noticed that the little internet guy had deleted his tweet, and he noticed the tweet, and he just kept the record of it, and he just shared with people saying, hey, this guy deleted something. I asked him about it, and I don't know if it means anything. I'm sharing it with people, and people were able to, like, oh, that could mean something. And it just caused a whole flurry of activity around the Earth Key, if you will. That kind of thing, where the person that is supposed to participate in a small fashion, if you will, deleted some key information. The room key stuff, kind of a cultural thing, the error with the global key. These things kind of matter, and I know it's still fairly early on. in the game, but if this is an indicator, it could build up over time if these things are not nipped in the bud on the part of the game makers, particularly glomming on to different areas of the cryptocurrency space in order to attract more hunters to the space. I honestly don't know what the game makers had anticipated the level of intrigue. I know there was like 60,000 people that subscribed right off the bat. And then it's kind of dropped significantly a little bit, if you will, as people have left the game, or not as active as they once were, just because of the different types of challenges were not what they were looking for in playing this game. Maybe it was a mistake. I mean, it made great marketing sense to do a geolocation right off the bat, because that's something that people are used to. That's like, what's that game show? Our reality show, the one where they travel in pairs. I forget what it's called. I know the Survivor, it comes after Survivor. The Amazing Race. Just had to say Survivor. Amazing Race. People are accustomed to that kind of concept socially and culturally. Oh, it's like Amazing Race. I just go to this location, I get the glue, I solve the little puzzle thing. And there wasn't more like that. Now, there has been more geolocation keys. They've been around the globe, if you will. I don't think people are flying to, you know, Rishka and Copenhagen and Singapore for these geolocation keys. And I know the marketing keys seem more like everybody type of a deal type of key where anybody can do that. But for a puzzle game that's heavily emphasis on cryptography, or at least some computer knowledge or dev knowledge to be able to solve, I that's just already such a small space as it is. I don't know what they were expecting as far as the volume of people and the viralness, if you will. I know Eric Meltzer has stated that he's trying to use this as a means of educating people in the cryptocurrency space and the use of Bitcoin, but most of those people, technical people, are already aware of Bitcoin, or at least have some fundamental understanding of Bitcoin, even if they don't participate in this community. So if you're looking for outside individuals, outside people that are not technical or are not dev-centric, if you will, and I know the distance is key was more internet sleuthing. You kind of need something else, even with the geolocation keys, and that can be like a networking thing. I don't know, you need something else that can kind of grab that more of a mainstream mass audience, if that is what they're really looking for. It just feels very strange that you're using Bitcoin, you're using cryptography, but you want this to be a viral mass thing. It's a little weird. It's a little strange. I think they kind of have to work with the audience that they have and tailor the game to suit that audience and work there. I think if the puzzles are challenging enough, then you're going to have more dev people talking about that. We've already seen, I guess you could say, behind the scenes with a number of the keys that have been solved without any public disclosures, that there's private groups out there that are not disclosing that they saw these keys. So they're out there. They're running deep, running silent like submarines. And that can way broaden with the news articles that have come out and increase the number of new hunters that have come to the space. And even help solve, I imagine, it helps solve the bone key and the earth keys are going to soon fall. And I understand how doing that helps with the game and the marketing, and I'm fine with that. Again, you're just bringing in people that are already kind of tech savvy, dev savvy, and already kind of are familiar a little bit about Bitcoin. But some of them did come from the space that were not familiar with Bitcoin or even about the space. All they heard was $1 million and, oh, Bitcoin, and because it's in the news, the run up in price. They're like, oh, maybe I can win this or earn this or how do I play this? I don't know, I'm just talking in circles right now. I hope things are tightened up. I hope that, you know, I'm kind of liking the puzzles. I kind of like in the journey. I'm learning things, figuring things out, going back to keys that have already been solved and seeing if I can figure them out myself. I am still having a hard time understanding Ben walking and working through that. But I guess I have to download some manual or PDF and figure it out myself, because none of the how-to videos I've found have been that much helpful, if you will. But, you know, it's a learning experience. It's a learning curve. And I'm enjoying myself so far, building the community, watching people getting super excited with the solves or finding something or even getting to dead ends and like, okay, that's a dead end. That's good to know. Let's move on to the next thing. You know, just seeing how people's minds work and how they figure things out. I've always found that fascinating. So that's it. I have the link of the information in the show notes to both the global key and the passphrase, so you can grab that key yourself, as well as the Nirvana key and the link to the Toshi's Cypher group's disclosure of the Nirvana key, so you can grab that key for yourself. I also have a link of all the publicly disclosed keys, as well as the keys that are out there and available through my Google Docs, if you want to be able to pull those keys, go back through and figure things out for yourself. You know, what has been found, not found, what's been publicly disclosed and not publicly disclosed, and things of that nature. My name is Hiroshi Shai. This is Satoshi's Treasure Hunters, and this has been your weekly update. And on with the hunt.